Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Were there anything worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists? Is Vinnie's jokes. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us on the Republic Broadcasting Network, kiwiradio.nz, Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you, all of you, for tuning in. Please share this stream around and get people into the Vinnie Eastwood Show groove. This show is very different from the rest of the shows that you might hear on a radio or on the internet. Everybody else takes these issues very, very seriously, and I don't, because I'm doing something about them, and I am just doing my own thing, really. So anybody else who's trying to do this, are they better than me at what they do or something like that? That's what they do. This is what I do, and there ain't nobody better at it. So today we have a selection of articles. We had a guest lined up, Samuel Hoffman, but unfortunately he's AWOL. So we're going to go through a selection of articles that I was looking over the weekend, and it was quite a significant amount of reporting going on about the the Wellington Parliament protest and the police response to it. Now, before we go to those articles here, I would like to remind people that this is a listener-supported broadcast, so please go to vinnieeastwood.com. The show's so good that it got banned from YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon. And check out our great sponsors, holdenhealthcare.com, reopen.nz. Please become a Patreon of Vinnie and the Vendettas, my wonderful band. And also, if you are a regular donor through KiwiBank and PayPal, we definitely appreciate those. And if you have donated, click on the special rewards section there, and you will get my number and a number of other details, ways to contact me if you want to call up and have a chat. Now, caller lines are open today, so if you want to call in, the number is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252, or call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And I'm going to have to remember, of course, keep the chat open on the Skype, and my wonderful producer will be able to feed me your calls as they come in. So we have a Mark Dolder article. Now, those people who aren't familiar with Mark Dolder, think of this as a template, and you'll have many of these type journalists in your own country. Somebody who's, to use the Texan term, a carpetbagger, comes over from overseas and has overseas influences, and then starts telling you what the news is in your country. And this kind of carpetbaggery is not supported by the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Namely, this person is basically out there to just demonize anybody who's a conspiracy theorist, anybody who stands against the current establishment and blatantly lie about them. This first article that he has up here, it says, "It looks like everyone is leaving. How police failed at Parliament." Now, to give a little bit of a background here, the parliamentary protests were probably one of the biggest that we'd seen since the Springbok tour in the 1980s, and that was a time when police had their batons and their shields and things of that nature, and there were full-on brawls happening between protesters and police. Very, very exciting times for New Zealand, as the New Zealand police started to stick up for the racist regime of the South African team at the time. Now, this protest, on the other hand, was against vaccine mandates. Now, there were lots of other people down there talking about all sorts of other issues and things of that nature, but primarily it was against the vaccine mandate. Now, I believe a few days after the police won their case in court against their vaccine mandates, all those non-jabbed police officers got their jobs back and then were sent to Wellington to remove all the anti-mandate protesters. Okay, just Let that sink in for just a moment. And Mark Dolder is sitting here saying that the police should have done more. Like, that protest shouldn't have gone on as long as it could have. They should have moved them on day one or something like that. This guy's tenuous grip to the concept of freedom seems to be coming apart at the seams here. So let's get on with the article. Intelligence warnings went unheeded. No response plan was made and only a handful of police were available to monitor and manage the first day of the Parliament protest, Mark Dolder reports. Now, if I may, I've been to hundreds and hundreds of protests, and generally speaking, as far as police protocol's concerned, they might have a few cops there on the day, but they don't expect you to, like, dig in and start camping out and stuff, and there's very little precedent for this happening, so they just didn't see it coming. A year-long review of the police response to the Parliament protest, occupation and subsequent riot, and they call it a riot, but what happens when you force people off something that they've occupied or whatever, and you brutally bash up old people and you spray people in the face with mace, okay, and you call that a riot. You started the riot, New Zealand police, okay, what did you expect was going to happen? That everybody was just going to lay down and take it after many, many attempts to move them on and have them successfully resist and rebuff those things. You think it's just going to go quietly, do you? No. We had people using cars as rams to break police lines. We had people pulling up pavers from the sides of the road and chucking them at police. And I believe it's very different to the Black Lives Matter protests in the United States, where somebody had just had a pallet of bricks lying around, you know, and that kind of thing just provided for the protesters to go and destroy everything. On the one hand, police acted with commendable restraint and professionalism during the operation to clear out the occupation on March the 2nd in the face of violent provocation. Only a handful of allegations of unlawful use of force are being investigated. Now, I'm not sure if that happened on March 2. I thought it happened on March the 3rd, the 33 kind of thing, but never mind. Well, it was known as Black Wednesday, the third day of the week. And I love the whole thing of the commendable restraint, shooting unarmed protesters with giant rubber bullets the size of a fist, smashing people with shields in the face, grabbing people, breaking their sternums, breaking their hips, knocking them out. This is the elderly people and women that they're doing this to, spraying old ladies in the face with a can of pepper spray. This is what Mark Dolder calls, and the police call, remarkable restraint. I hazard to guess what their call would be if it's just it's not restraint. Hold on a second, I'm just getting a call here. We may have some audio issues. Hello. So I'm going to go check the chat rooms here and see if we have any. There we go. There was the talk issue. For those of us now joining on Kiwi Radio NZ, so sorry about the dead air there, and thank you, Ralphie, for calling me. All right, so we're back to it now. On the other hand, early intelligence failures and poor planning throughout the three-week protest damaged the quality of the overall response, the Independent Police Conduct Authority, the IPCA, said. Now, who are the IPCA? Okay, independent. All right, let's have a look at that word there. What does independent mean? Do you think it's like part of something else? No, it's not. It's not dependent, right? Who are the staff who work at the Independent Police Conduct Authority? They're all members of the New Zealand Police. Okay? Now, if I set up an investigation into Vinnie Eastwood, and all your questions have to come through Vinnie Eastwood, do you think I could call it the Independent Vinnie Eastwood Conduct Authority? Yes, you could, according to these police rules here. You know, it was kind of like during The derivative scare during John Key's time, they were saying something like, oh, these derivatives are so complicated, so we got KPMG to investigate themselves for us, and they assure us it's all good, bro. You know, what kind of independence are you talking about here? It's just ridiculous. Now, despite this alleged good response, IPCA Chair Judge Colin Doherty suggests that even a perfect police response may have still led to the occupation bedding in for a prolonged period. Dolder asks, is that really true? The 225-page review gives us a detailed look behind the scenes of the largest police response to a protest event since the Springboks tour. It highlights two stages of the early response before the occupation had settled in, where police could theoretically have prevented the encampment, the period before anyone had arrived at Parliament, and the first day of the protest prior to anyone spending the night. So Dolder believes that basically you can retrospectively know what people are going to do. And more to the point, he believes that anybody protesting vaccine mandates should have just been moved on as a matter of course. Like you know, you guys are having a protest, we've got to move you on. Sorry, you know. And it was very similar to what happened months earlier with myself and Billy TK being arrested on the 21st of August 2021. And this here happened on, according to Dolder, March the 2nd, 2022. So we're looking at a lockstep move by New Zealand enforcement here, just basically shut down protesting just in general, and we have a lapdog media trying to sell that idea to the public. And speaking of which, I would like to direct people towards change.org, Justice for Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood. Last I checked, we had like 8,000 signatures or something like that. We've got another 500. We've got 8,526 signatures at the moment. We're trying to get to 10,000. So if you guys are listening live, please go to change.org and search for Justice for Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood. And also the concept here is you want to share this petition out as well. The petition reads, Justice for Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood petition. Please do not donate here as donations will come back to us. Please, to donate, please contact billy@ibc.net.nz. On March 30th, 2023, New Zealand civil liberties activist, former politician and pastor Billy TK was sentenced to 4 months jail for breaching New Zealand COVID-19 Health Response Act 2020 while protesting against lockdown harm and government overreach. He was arrested in August 2021 during a level 4 lockdown declared over one case of COVID-19, the Delta variant, for a small protest of around 100 people that was peaceful outdoors and with no property damage or cases of COVID coming from it. Black Lives Matter had approximately 20,000 people at two huge protests in Auckland and Wellington during level 2 lockdown a year earlier with no masks or social distancing, and there was not one arrest. Mr. Tikaheka's sentence to prison is the harshest sentence of its kind given in the Western world to date, at a time when the Australian government has dropped and reimbursed all fines and punishments of people who persisted COVID lockdown laws. The UK government has a non-prison punishment approach to the laws. It is now well understood in New Zealand, as it is around the world, that the harm that was caused by the use of lockdowns to deal with COVID-19 far outstripped the risk of the COVID virus for most New Zealanders and offered no benefit and only suicide, social distress and huge economic and human rights destruction. A recent report by Johns Hopkins University Economic School confirmed that lockdowns needed to be rejected and offered no benefit. There are many more such reports and articles like this. In the past week, examples of tyranny and hostility toward truth defenders in New Zealand, such as Mr. Tikaheka, have been made plain to the world, and at his sentencing it took another step in its evolution and sent a clear message to all New Zealanders that you cannot exercise freedom of speech, speak the truth, and defend civil and human rights if it is against the government of New Zealand's narrative, because if you do, you will be crushed. Mr. Tikaheka has been persecuted by the New Zealand government for almost 20 months and vilified endlessly by government funding funded mainstream media in New Zealand. We are calling for a petition to direct the world's attention to Mr. Tekeheka and Mr. Eastwood's plight, and to ask the New Zealand government for either a complete dismissal of charges or the removal of the prison sentence. Both Mr. Tekeheka and Mr. Eastwood are non-violent family men, with Mr. Tekeheka a pastor, a community services contributor and former member of the New Zealand Army and Police with no previous convictions. Please help them stay with their families, sign and share this petition. That's change.org, justice for Billy TK and Vinnie Eastwood, if you guys could be so kind as to go and help us out there. Continuing on with the article here from Mark Dolder about the police failures in the Parliament. Ultimately, systemic and individual failures hobbled police's ability to move early. The intelligence about the threat of occupation was ignored, leaving the police with no plan when things went south and too few people to dislodge the protesters. The IPCA's belief notwithstanding, there may have been potential for police to intervene and prevent the protest at one of these stages had those failures not occurred. And early warnings. A full week before the twin convoys of protesters arrived in Wellington, police became aware of their initial plans. On February 1, two separate police districts learned of the convoy. A Wellington intelligence officer was clued in by a state-owned enterprise, which in turn was tipped off by a member of the public, while a Northland intelligence staffer found a public mention of the protest. The Northland intelligence unit sent the information up the flagpole, and multiple reports were assembled by national and local teams over the next few days. February 3 report assessed the convoy was, quote, likely to occur but not on the scale indicated on social media or the likes of similar protests seen in Canada. And those are people who remember that they, at that stage, truckers had already shut down the Canadian capital of Ottawa for nearly a week. Now, the caller lines are open, ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, 512-248-8252 and 1-800-313-9443. Continuing with the article now. The model for what would play out in Wellington was clearly visible, but thought to be unrealistic. And people really didn't see it coming. And it hadn't really something been seen like that before. They had a whole town set up, you know. Food areas, medical tents, port-a-loos, everything was brought in. A complete temporary village was set up, and it was quite a significant achievement at the time, and a true, would you say, example of Kiwi ingenuity. Just the ability to get things done with what little you have on hand. Other reports came to differing conclusions, however. The report noted the next day the Kiwi convoy plans had discussed occupying Parliament grounds, but caveated that smaller occupation plans had previously come to naught, just as this occupation actually did come to naught. There's an old saying, occupations always fail. All right, now I'm in support of, you know, protesting and all of that kind of thing. However, it doesn't work. All right, so if you're going out there trying to make something work, protesting is probably not the best thing for it. We're going to commercial break now, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. You can call in over the break, and we will be right back after these messages from our wonderful sponsors. Thank you. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest hour in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I am going to just check whether or not we've got any callers. No callers just yet, so 512-248-8252 or 1-800-313-9443. Turning over to the chat rooms now, I'd like to say hi to Last1207 and Savage Stephen Lestrom. Thank you very much for joining in here with us, guys. So what I'm wanting to get across to people is that although there is much, you know, articles and things of that nature coming out about the Wellington protests and what happened down there, it doesn't really kind of like hit home the reality sometimes when you're watching the mainstream media, exactly what happened and why and all of that sort of stuff. So articles like the one we've been just reading over here about the Mark Dolder, it talks about the planning failures and how they had all this intelligence and they put that down over the place. Now, there seemed to be some kind of a hiss on my line here. I'm just going to see if I can correct. So sorry about that, guys. No, there's still a hiss on the line there. Do we have somebody on the line? No? I don't know. There seemed to be some bad background hissing on the line. So that's a difficult one to remedy. Sorry, guys, about the audio there. If that is coming through, please let me know if you guys can still a hiss on there. No, the hiss is still there for me. I'm not sure what is happening here, guys, but we're trying to get it through as best we can. It's not on air, it's just on here. So yeah, that's an odd one. You can't even notice, says my partner Rebecca. Thank you for that, honey. So continuing on with the article now then, I've got to try and get this thing really sorted here. Sorry guys, bit confusing here. I'm going to take a little sip of water for you. Oh, the hiss is gone. Just take a sip of water. And now it's back. All right. It looks like everyone is leaving. At 6 a.m. on February 8, a protester purporting to be the organizer of the convoy contacted the Wellington District Council, District Command Center, rather, DCC, and said the first vehicles would soon be arriving. She said there would be food for protesters, a PA system, and potentially tents for shelter. There was a code of conduct for protesters, she told police, and they should ring her if there were any issues. Later in the morning, an inspector and a few uniformed staff from the police support unit, which deals... sorry, guys, I just have to check one thing. There we go. Staff from the police, which deals with protests, visited Parliament and told the DCC there were no issues. Police internal officers are also on the ground, but only provided a written update at 5 p.m. instead of any oral updates throughout the day. The head of parliamentary security... Oh, hold on a second. We've got a call coming in. Hello. There's some kind of issue with the live stream on here as well. Oh, goodness, guys. I'm so sorry about this. There is a number of issues going on with the audio and stuff, so I'm just going to have to ramble for a moment while I try and sort that out. So sorry for this, guys. Now, if we look at this parliamentary protest and we kind of think about it in terms of why there is something important about it, it is basically the main lesson here is the police aren't all-knowing, okay? There's no big AI system coordinating them throughout the day and so on and so forth. And my heart really tells me that they could be beaten back and very much easily defeated by an organized group of protesters who knew what they were doing. However, there's very little evidence that this kind of thing will actually be occurring. So when we look at the world around us and we think about the concept of the protests and resistance to tyranny, just in general, even alternative media, sometimes people don't know exactly what they're dealing with, and then you see the response coming off through there. So when we have that problem, we have to really seriously think about it and go back to the drawing board. All right, guys, so we're coming up with another break now, I believe. So we'll be right back in just a few moments here. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest hour in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on republicbroadcasting.org. So the question on, a lot of people's minds is like, why exactly is Vinnie even really talking about this? And the answer is there was a huge flood of these articles. And I think what's also very important here is that we look at how things are continuing to go through. Pandemic madness, just a rehearsal. This from Byron Clark out of newsroom.co.nz. A prophecy of the rabbit holes and disinformed thinking of climate change denialism to come. Increasingly, I found myself thinking that the combination of far-right and conspiracy theorist movement we've seen grow during the pandemic is a dress rehearsal for what we'll see once the impact of climate change becomes more significant. You mean the climate change measures become more significant when you can't leave your house or you're going to live in some kind of like 15-minute city? You're afraid that these far-right conspiracy theorists are going to be like, oh, no, you can't take our freedom of movement, our freedom of assembly, and where we live and control every single aspect of our life. I mean, these crazy people, what are we going to have to deal with? My goodness! Are we dealing with the worst scum in the world from the media these days, man? This Byron Clark, do I remember that name? Is this the guy who basically has made a career off of insulting and attacking and trying to destroy people who tell the truth, right? He goes on to say the global pandemic has brought about abrupt changes that have disrupted our usual way of life, occurring in a time of massive wealth inequality. I love that leftist rhetoric. Oh, it's wealth inequality. No. Some people work on oil rigs and get paid like 50 grand or 60 or 70 or 80 grand or whatever. Some people drive long-haul trucks in Australia and get paid 100 grand. And then some people work at a nice, safe little office job and get like 35 grand or something like that. So you know, look, people really do bust their ass, and there's a reason for wealth inequality in the first place. And the whole concept here is that you don't really look at the massive criminal banks that run everything, that are skimming the milk off the top of everything, bro. The cream, rather. Do you, Byron? You know? The global pandemic has brought about abrupt changes that have disrupted our usual way of life, occurring in a time of massive wealth inequality. Conspiracy theories have emerged claiming the pandemic is a hoax. You mean the pandemic that was, I think, do you remember back in 2008? Of course you don't. They changed the definition of pandemic at the WHO to being a disease that's in two countries. Right? They just change it up. They just make stuff up and just keep going on. Was it a hoax to usher in a new economic order for the benefit of sinister elites? Really? You mean those sinister elites that didn't have to close their businesses while all the small businesses closed down? Those sinister elites that now have vaccines in everybody's bloodstreams? Goodness knows when they're going to pop, you know? Like, excuse me, guys, I've got a blood clot. I just need to clear this. All right, there we go. I'm feeling much better. And there has been a willing audience for those theories. You mean, like, anybody who thinks, Byron? I really don't like this guy. I really don't like him. You know, sometimes you just don't like what somebody says. And then at some point, you realize that you actually don't like this person at all. Because they're a bad person. They're a liar. They're a scumbag. And it gets you a little... It gets your little caveman DNA coming up. Ugh. While white supremacy, Islamophobia, xenophobia, and anti-Semitism are ideas with deep roots, and the fear of white people becoming a minority has been around for at least a century. You mean like how we have 50,000 plus immigrants from non-European speaking nations coming into Auckland alone every year, which only has like 1.4 million people in it. Okay? Well, you're thinking about becoming a minority. You know, I remember I went to the mall the other day, and I felt like the only white guy in there. Like, is that racist to just notice things like that? Like you're in an area where people who look like you just aren't anymore because there's just none of them left, right? Is that racist? I don't know. I think it's just kind of like an accurate assessment of the situation. It happens, man. It happens all the time. And it's been happening a lot more lately with the successive and massive immigration that we've been having. It's just nuts. In 2021, the wealthiest 20% of New Zealand's household owned 69% of the wealth. Between 2018 and 21, households in that 20% increased their median wealth by $313,000, while the median wealth of the bottom 20% increased by $3,000. Those who benefit from the established economic order will react strongly to any perceived threat to their wealth and power. We saw this with attendees at groundswell protests reacting to the clean car discount rebate scheme and other environmental protection policies by deriding a centrist prime minister as a communist and declaring New Zealand was becoming a Venezuela or Zimbabwe. Now, let's think about this for a second. Clean car discount rebate scheme and other environmental protection policies. Now, let's say, for example, you do buy an electric car and you can only travel for a certain amount of minutes in any direction before you got to go home real quickly before you pass that edge of no return, because otherwise you're going to have to be stuck at some kind of charging station if you're lucky enough to find them for goodness knows how freaking long. All right. And this is a clean car rebate scheme. Okay. How many processes do you need to get oil out of the ground? You drill it, you lock something in, and the oil comes out, okay? And then you refine it, and then it goes into your car as gasoline, right? It's a pretty simple process, really, when you think about it. But when you think about, like, the 70 or so different processes that are involved with making an electric car run, or the lithium that they've got to strip mine the land to get out through, and all these other rare earth metals and things of that nature, all of which you destroy large tracts of land with toxic frickin' crap, and nothing's ever going to go like grow there again in order to make your electric car run. You got to have the batteries, right? And the batteries have a whole bunch of different things in them, and they go through all sorts of different processes that use all sorts of different chemicals and things of that nature in order to get this stuff just working. Okay, so you do like maybe thousands and thousands of times more environmental damage by using electric cars than you do from using petroleum fueled cars. It's just that simple, just because of the manufacture process, just because it ain't pumping carbon dioxide out into the thing. I mean, there are like these massive, massive freaking things, like in the States, I believe it is, full of dead electric cars, right? They just haven't sold them. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them with all these batteries. They're just sitting there rotting. Okay, and the same is true of petroleum vehicles, but at least when they're rotting, they don't have toxic freaking chemicals in them that can, like, eat a hole through the earth and create sinkholes or some crap, you know? I'm not saying that that's what they do, but you see what I mean. Continuing on with Byron. Man, I wonder who bought him. Hey, Byron, say we could buy Byron. Yeah, let's buy Byron. Let's get him to dump some propaganda for us and demonize and insult and use logical fallacies like there's no tomorrow to demonize our competition, you know. Yeah, I mean, you see these kind of people all over the place, don't you? Do you like them? I don't like them. I really don't like this guy, and I think that honestly everybody should email this guy with the nicest worded emails you can possibly force yourself to restrain from. Okay? If you do that, will it cause him to stop doing what he's doing? Probably not. But just think about how the amygdala works, your brain's kind of like fear centers and what have you. It doesn't matter what people are doing. As soon as large amounts of people are targeting you, no matter what way they're targeting you, your brain goes into freak-out mode. Okay? And that's what happens. And I would like these people to freak out at the most nicely worded comments ever. People who just disagree with you and think that you're a shill and think that you're a bad person and believe that you should stop writing your lies and start doing something productive with your life. Continuing on, we also saw how quickly the conspiracy theory crowd got amongst it, searching for recruits to the conspiracy that climate change is a hoax perpetrated by self-serving scientists and sinister globalists. You mean those scientists who get paid? Are you telling me that nobody ever does stuff because they get paid? I want to do a study on, the Essex squirrel. But I can't get funding for it. But if I say that I'm doing a study of the Essex squirrel and how it's being affected by climate change, I'm going to get me some funding dollars, mate. Yes, I am. That's how it works, quite simply, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very simply. They give you handouts if you sell the narrative, and they don't give you nothing if you don't. Okay? That's why climate change is so readily pushed and so few people speak out against it, because all the people who readily push it have millions and billions and bazillions of dollars to pay people to keep pushing it for them, and the people who are criticizing it, looking at this thing called science, which none of these people do. Anybody who's ever looked at the subject, okay, even from the ancient Latin, sciare, to know, all right, do you know that the climate is changing? Do you know how many particles of carbon are in the atmosphere? Do you know what those carbon concentrations were like during the Cambrian period when the life was flourishing? Do you know what happened to China when it started up all its coal-fired power plants, which they're still building more of? It greened the place. Alright? Plants love carbon dioxide. They can't get enough of it. The more carbon dioxide they get, the bigger they get. It's a simple calculus. And so, if you don't want to feed people, if you want everybody to die, wouldn't carbon dioxide be one of your chief enemies? So that their food doesn't grow. While those who have benefited from being able to externalize the environmental costs of their businesses. Now, this is another interesting. I was watching the documentary The Corporation and watching Manufacturing Consent. It's just two documentaries that I watched when I was in university many years ago. Not because I was told to watch them, but because I got sick of all the lecturers and everything like that pushing some freaking agenda on me, and I went down into the AV library and started watching all the documentaries about stuff that I wasn't supposed to know about. And it talked about externalizing. Now, what does that mean in a corporate sense? What it means is, if you do something in business that winds up hurting a community, damaging people, damaging their property, polluting their land, or something of that nature, that's called an externalizing, all right? Because you're not cleaning that up afterwards. You're not compensating those people afterwards. You're not helping anybody. You've done your business, you've taken your money, and you're out. Everything else is externalized. That's what that word means. Now, this guy goes on to say, for example, farmers who have not had to pay for the impacts of methane emissions will make the most noise about any environmental regulations they have to adhere to. It is the poor who will be the worst affected by any climate change-related price increase on transport, food, and other necessities. Things that cannot be caused, that could be caused either by compliance costs with environmental regulations or by climate change related weather events affecting production. Again, the conspiracy theorists are there to tell them this is all a hoax carried out by malevolent elites. Okay, so this guy's may have heard of Agenda 21, maybe not, but if you do have heard of Agenda 21, all the goals of climate change are straight out of Agenda 21, which means they already had this plan long before anybody was talking about climate change. Okay, back then it was global cooling or global warming or... and now it's climate catastrophe. Is it climate change now, or is it climate catastrophe? Or is it climate emergency? Or is it climate something or other? They just keep changing names, because every time they give a definition to something, it's global cooling, and then it starts warming up. They go, oh, it's actually global warming, and then it starts cooling down. They go, oh, no, it's actually climate change. And, you know, it's just, they're just making it up, bro. They're just making it up. And there is umpteen evidence in all sectors of society. Go and watch the documentary, The Global Warming Swindle. The Great Global Warming Swindle, I believe. Very, very good documentary to give you some decent information on that. Unlike this, Byron Clark. It almost gives me... have you ever noticed... when you really don't like somebody and you say their name and phlegm builds up in you, like your body's trying to get rid of some kind of mucus, right? Byron Clark. Yeah, there it is. Perhaps more significantly, though, maybe I need to spit on him when I next see him. I don't know. I'll think about it. The climate change and related natural disasters are going to cause people to move, and many of them will move across national borders. As estimates predict that there could be as easy as many as 1.2 billion people displaced by 2050, making the 2015 refugee crisis, which saw 1.3 million people seek asylum in Europe, look tiny in comparison. Observing how a significant number of people in the Western world reacted to the northern immigration that occurred in 2015, electing politicians like Trump and Orban, and creating a climate of increased xenophobia. It's not xenophobia, okay? First of all, if it were xenophobia, there would be an actual fear of just anybody who's foreign, like just in general. But if you've got immigrants who come over to England from Pakistan, for example, and they set up rape gangs and they have homes where they have the names of like 20 men on the chalkboard outside. And as the men take women and girls into those homes to rape, they put a little mark next to their own name, and then they pay a certain rental fee at the end of every month for use of the rape house. Okay? And people who speak out against that stuff are not xenophobic, because it has nothing to do with being a foreigner. It could be some kind of... a person from Scandinavia, somebody who's Finnish, who is doing this, and people would still speak out against it, and it wouldn't be called xenophobic, would it? Because it's a white guy doing it. But as soon as you've got anybody from a different culture or a different skin colour or something like that, the left just goes, oh, it's xenophobia. You're just afraid of foreigners, you know, like, oh my God. Why would you be afraid of people raping your children, you know? you're just racist. Like, dude, come on. This guy's a scumbag, this Byron Clark, man. Well, I've gone from I don't like him to I hate him in the course of, like, a fifth of an article. This guy's legendary. I've never hated somebody this quick. Never! Ah! My goodness. Gracious me. Ah. The shift from COVID conspiracy to climate change is already underway. Isn't that interesting that he's saying that it's already underway? Because guess who predicted that the narrative would shift from COVID to climate change? Any guesses? The conspiracy theorists! We told you that they would shift from COVID to climate change. As soon as everybody realized that we called it a hoax, and that it would be realized years later after it's too late, and that they need a new scam. A new scam to push their global agenda, and they're going to fall back on the climate change. We said that. And now this guy's Like, he thinks he's preempting us. It's like, no, we preempted you, Byron, you moron. Am I using insults now? Man, the hate is flowing through. It's just flowing. Quote, COVID is not the agenda, read a post in a conspiracy theorist telegram channel quoted by the Daily Beast. The agenda was, according to the channel, much bigger, incorporating race chaos, LGBT stuff, fake environmentalist climate change bullcrap, mass migration, human rights, etc. Glenn Beck, a former Fox News host who now has his own media platform, Blaze Media, has hosted shows with graphics reading COVID-19 pandemic plus climate change, quote, crisis equals the Great Reset. Beck alleges that the Great Reset will, quote, use the threat of COVID and climate change to force private businesses and corporations into bending the knee to their government overlords, end quote. Is there anything that people who are listening to this platform would think is uncontroversial about that? All right. This is something Noam Chomsky said, is that when you say things that are publicly accepted and repeated 1,000 times a day, you know, that kind of thing, when you say it, you don't have to back it up because it's accepted by everybody. But when you say something like that, that the COVID pandemic and the climate change crisis equals the Great Reset, you have to qualify those statements. Now, in the media, they've got this thing called concision. Can you concisely, within a minute or two, give an answer to that question, what is the COVID-19 pandemic? You can't, because you've got to have time to lay that evidence out. And because of that, the newsrooms won't book you, because they have to fit in your interview between two commercial breaks. So if you can't answer those questions, just like that, and you have to lay out all this information to convince a sleeping population that things have been kept from them, you're not going to get on the news, are you? So concision and the manufacture of consent. Very interesting concepts here that we've discussed today. Isn't it interesting that I watched those documentaries just recently and now suddenly have all the information to sort of do all this analysis, all right? Good documentaries are like that, man. Go watch Manufacturing Consent by Noam Chomsky and The Corporation, guys. You really like it. Conspiracy theories centered around the Great Reset were promoted in Australia by Sky News as early as 2020, with one host, Rowan Dean, describing it as a, quote, hardcore leftist eco-horror show replete with quasi-fascism. The conservative news network has a small reach compared with other Australian news outlets, but has found a dedicated audience among the anti-vaccine and conspiracy theorist community. In 2021, the Sky News YouTube channel was suspended for a week for airing COVID-19 misinformation. Now, this is another thing as well. Who decides that it's misinformation? The overlords do? Oh, okay, well, I don't see any conflict of interest there. The network also exerts influence over the far-right fringe of Australia. See, they just label us. Like, I'm a far-right white cis male. Far-right white. Far-right white. Yep, yeah, mate. That's me, all right. Sharing a video clip of Dean's comments on her Facebook page, Pauline Hanson, leader of the One Nation Party, wrote that, quote, Australia should have nothing to do with the so-called Great Reset. Furthermore, Australia should remove itself from the Paris Climate Agreement and any other international agreement that doesn't put the interests of Australians first and foremost. Now, isn't that not what you want to hear, ultimately? Look, guys, I know you're feeling crazy here, because I'm feeling crazy here, because these people out here are absolutely insane, and they've got the ear of the vast majority of the public, it feels like, and a lot of the people that you talk to will actually listen to stuff that Byron Clark says and believe it, right? Think it's got some kind of legitimacy. It doesn't have no legitimacy. Oh my God, how can you not see it? How can you not see it, you ask? And the reason why they can't see it is because all the things that would enable you to see it have been kept from their view since birth, pretty much. Censorship, social ostracization. I doubt any of my listeners were treated very well in high school and were very popular and had a whole lot of fun there. But anyway, Guys, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Love you very much. Check out the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and donate today and support my band, Vinnie and the Vendettas, and our wonderful sponsors, HoldenHealthcare.com and Reopen.nz. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for your time.